Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. The power of praying more powerfully. Aren't we blessed to have a great choir as we do? Sing as beautiful as they do with harmony and with so sincereness, so thank you this morning for that special. The scripture this morning tells us about when Jesus and disciples were returning to Jerusalem. It says that Jesus was hungry, and oftentimes along the way, there were trees, olive trees, fig trees, and people could help themselves to take a fruit. I don't know how many of you have fruit trees at home when they're bearing. If you're out working or something, you see an apple, a pear tree, and peaches. Brenda and I planted some of those back when we moved into our home out there. And you know what? I've gotten very few off of them because somebody beats us to it. Brenda says it's the squirrels. So whatever animal comes and gets our fruit. But you like to enjoy those things when you're out working and doing things. And Jesus is coming along and he was hungry, it says. So follow along with me. Now in the morning when he, Jesus, was returning to the city of Jerusalem, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." In our scriptures, it said that the tree had leaves. I don't know if you're familiar with fig trees or not. But normally, the fruit become before the leaves. Or, fig trees can have leaves and fruit at the same time. Very rarely would you see a fig tree without fruit on it. In this particular situation, whatever reason, the tree didn't have fruit on it, Jesus saw it. And he related it to the faith of Israel or even the faith of the disciples. And instead of being amazed, I believe Jesus wanted them to see their condition of their hearts. And looking at Israel, he was hoping that their faith would be so great that they would believe in him as the true Messiah. And then he said, "What I want you to look at what prayer can do, what faith can do." And he used a mountain as an illustration. And you know, we say, "Well, I'll take this mountain and move it over here." Well, it's the spiritual things that God is telling us here. know, we could take earth-moving equipment and probably push dirt from one side of the country to the other side. But when it comes to faith, it's increasing what we know about Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and being able to use the power that's all mustered up into that, and through prayer that we could see mountains or burdens in our life removed and restored with the blessings of God. Bob Pierce, the founder of the World Vision, prayed. He said, "Lord, let my heart be broken with things that break your heart." If we would pray like that, just thinking about the mountains could be removed in our own lives, in the lives of our nation, in our country. If things that breaks, if the things in our heart, let our heart be broken with the things that would break God's heart. Like Jesus, when he looked upon that fig tree. I don't think it was so much about Jesus being hungry physically as he was hungry for the love and the faith that he knew that could be demonstrated in the life of his disciples and Israel, if they it could be restored, that they would have more faith than they'd ever had before, then that would he would be glorified in that. John Robe of World Vision Mission Advanced Research Center, he told a story of adults of Ethiopia, Awash River area, 2 hours north of Addis Ababa, were suffering through phantoms. And in their suffering, the people looked to this giant tree. And they often went to this tree to thinking they would receive some help. And they worshiped the tall tree, and believing that a spirit had given them divine power. And these adults would kiss it. They would kiss the trunk as they would pass by. They even spoke to the tree in a quiet, reverent tone. And the children said, "The tree saves us." And one morning, as the World Vision staff prayed, one of the Jesus' promise struck them with Matthew chapter 21, 21 and 22 that I just read. "If you have faith, you can say to this tree, 'Be taken and removed,' and it will obey you." Soon the whole community knew that the Christians were praying about the tree. 6 months later, the tree began to dry up. The people were astonished, and they said to these World Vision ministry team, "Your God has done this." "Your God has done this." And within a few weeks, about 100 villagers received Jesus Christ because they had seen God's power displayed in a spectacular way, and to them, it was a natural prayer of the Christian World Vision people. It changed their life. And often, we see occults and things that make man-made images their God. And when they see God display something over that, more powerful, divine, it gets our attention. And 100 villagers, because of this missionary team being there and saw the demonstration of the power of prayer, they were saved. Now, I want us to look at some, I think, guiding principles to help us pray more powerfully for the expansion of God's kingdom and for his righteousness in our life, that our faith would be even more powerful than it's ever been in our lifetime. just from last week, as the weeks approach, that the power of our prayer life, the evidence, the results of, as I was saying a while ago, let my heart be broken with things that break your heart. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. The Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, or be fearful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, or surpasses all our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and God of peace will be with you. That comes from a changed heart. Changed from the encounter of the presence of God in his life. And that time forward, Paul's life of faith was so non-removed that I believe that because of his faith, he removed a lot of mountains in the ministry that God had called him to, of the burdens and the things of all the missionary journeys that he made, all 135. You know, he went through a lot of pain, didn't he? Anguish and hardships. Yet he believed in prayer. He had faith, unwavering faith, and he demonstrated a faith that was non-removed in any circumstance. And I think Paul thought like Bob Pierce did, let his heart, Paul would pray this, let my heart be broken with the things that breaks your heart. And one of those was the persecuting of the Christians, and Paul was turned completely around and realized that the things that he had done in and under his own power was nothing in demonstration of what God wanted to do because he surrendered his life. So, in the scripture, I believe it's telling us we need to praise and be thankful and raise God and believe in his powerful work. See, praise assures us that God's purposes will be accomplished. See, worship affirms our heart that God's plan will supersede all other human or, I would say, demonic powers. You know, people that praise God are filled with a continuous sense of courage and confidence and hope. People who have a close relationship with the Lord always expect God to work all things for the good. And we believe that. I believe that. Even though, you know, just recently our countries and nations that align with us has devastation in their own country. But I believe if we believe as the scripture teaches, and knowing that God is in all control, and we come together, not only as individuals, but as a church and as a people of God, and we pray that we will see all power from heaven unveiled before us. And that's what we need in our churches today. That's what we need in our homes. That's what we need in our nation today, as a people of God come together in prayer, which will increase our faith. It will encourage us. It will support one another, knowing that we are in this together and we are in it with God. We're teamed up with Him. And I believe if we as a people of God pray more, we will see God reveal His presence in such a way it will change this world completely. You believe that this morning? I tell you what, the more I've been praying here recently and thinking about the scriptures and reading that, that is our responsibility as a God-called people. And that's what broke Jesus' heart when He walked by that tree. And we think, well, it's just a tree. It's just something simple. But it's an illustration of the condition of a ungodly nation, or it can be the condition of Christians who have failed to live up to their responsibility, expectation that God has called us to be. So, we need to pray more and more. James chapter 4, 7 and 8 says, submit yourself to God. Submit or yield or surrender. Verse 7 says, resist the devil. Means stand firm against him. Stand firm. If he gets they're irritating you or getting next to you or tempting you, what are you supposed to say? What did Peter say? Get behind me, Satan. Back last year when I baptized my grandson, Peyton, and Lauren, granddaughter, I had a little session with them. I talked to them quite a while. And I talked to them about temptation. I said, just being a Christian don't mean you won't have temptation. And I told them, Satan will tempt you day in and day out. And if he does, and you know it is of Satan, because he's going to try to get you to do anything that's wrong, just tell him to get behind you, get lost. So Tim, our son, asked them later what I talked to him about. And Peyton said, well, Papa said, if Satan bothered me, tell him to get lost. And I hope he remembers that. I tell him that all the time. How many of you do that? Get behind me, get lost, Satan. And that's one thing that Satan has to do in our lives as Christians. If we tell him to get lost, he has to obey that, because we have the power to tell Satan or any evil force to get lost, get behind us, to not be influenced, not be tempted, not to waver our faith, to take our eyes off of God. So I praise helps you and me find out what's on God's heart so that we can pray more towards the completion of His plan for our church, for our homes, for our community, even for our nation and our world. And secondly, coming together as a group of people for intercessory prayer, for God's power, and for His victory. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if two on earth agree on anything, that means if you're willing to harmonize together, or kind of like a symphony, you come together to make music, you come together concerning anything or everything, what Jesus is saying, you may ask, my Father in heaven will do whatever you ask in His name. See, God wants to bless us. And God blesses corporate, our group praying, by using the intercessory prayer. And that's why Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but pray. Bring your supplications and prayers to me. So intercessory prayer of his people to accomplish greater things than we can do by ourselves. That's why it's so important for us to pray corporately. Some years ago in the great state of Minnesota, known as the granary of the West, because they grow so many granary, many crops and so forth. And there came a score of grasshoppers that terrified and destroyed the wheat crops there in Minnesota. And the governor at that time called the people together there in Minnesota. He was a Christian, devout Christian man, and he called the people to come together and pray so that these grasshoppers would go away, be destroyed or something of that nature. And he called for them for fasting and to be humble and pray for the removal of this plague. Well, guess what? The secular media got a hold of this, and they scoffed and mocked and made fun of him, thinking it's ridiculous to ask God to remove this plague of grasshoppers. They thought it was ridiculous. That wasn't going to happen. Spring came. The wheat appeared, grasshoppers with it. And then the secular press said, "What is the result of your day of prayer?" But after a little while, as the grasshoppers grew, there came a parasite that not merely made the grasshoppers powerless or destroyed the wheat, but also the spread of the grasshoppers. And from that day forward, there has been no grasshoppers in the state of Minnesota. From that day forward. Isn't that amazing? I think it's quite amazing. So prayer is powerful. And it took one man to recognize, and a leader of the state of Minnesota, to call the people together as a corporate state to pray for that need. And then, see, we need to pray for a deeper spiritual growth in our lives. See, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, he says, "Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way, in all the things, into him who is the head, even Christ." See, pray for spiritual change and growth in our own life, along with the social relationships and the way life and a culture and the spiritual qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If we remember the fruit of the Spirit, and that's a part of our life, we will see our faith restored, our faith encouraged, and our faith growing. And see, prayer that seeks to bring about change will affect people in our society and will show God's power through multiple areas and places throughout our country. Our best weapon, in the midst of the multitude of activities, all the terrorist things that's going on in the world, all the devastation that's taking place within our world, we must let nothing interfere with our prayer time. It should even cause us to want to pray even more. See, Satan, will allow us to be as busy as we please if only he can get us prayerfully or powerless when we pray. are too busy to pray. So he knows he has no counterweapon against prayer. And we need to keep our prayer time with diligence. No counterweapon against prayer. Keep your prayer time and keep it diligence. If we want to help complete God's great commission, we must pray intentionally. A.G. Smith said, "Our Lord made prayer the real battlefield of life, and there won, and he won the victory." As we think about prayer and our time that we come together on Wednesday night, I think will increase the faith and help us to understand that God is wanting to do a great work in all of our lives. I believe that. All of my heart, I believe that. This Wednesday night, I will not be here, but we will have prayer service at 5:30 again, as normal. Rand is going to be leading it in the Bible study. And I pray as we close out this year, and as we see the new year coming in, that prayer would be at the top of our list here at Versailles Baptist Church. That we are a praying church. We are a believing praying church. That when we pray, we expect, and we're going to see results. God's going to bless us unfoldly with many, many blessings. The opportunities to do ministry, I do believe it's going to open up when he sees that we are really sincere and serious about our relationship with him. See, that's what it's all about, is us coming together to pray for his guidance. Whatever burdens us, we should pray that way. It will burden the Lord. But he would bless our efforts if we remember what the Scripture tells us we should be doing. Prayer should be the top of the list on each one of us, not only as a church, but individually. Let that be on your mind when you wake up in the morning in an attitude of prayer. To the God, our Heavenly Father. It was a priority for Jesus, wasn't it? It was truly a priority for him. He made it a priority. So should we. May we pray. Our Father God, we thank you this morning that you encourage us to seek your face, to come to the altar of prayer. And we shouldn't wait until something tragic or hardships come into our path. But Lord, that we would not be surprised because we've been with you. Because we know that everything that happens in this world, Lord, you will work it out for the good. You will bring us closer as a people, as a nation. And I pray this morning that our faith is increased because we have been with you. We have set aside this time to come on Sunday morning to worship, to fellowship, but Lord, to communicate with you and allow you to communicate with us, instructing us, correcting us where needed, providing salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your sacrificial death on Calvary. And I pray this morning that each and every one of us, as your Holy Spirit moves through this congregation this morning, I pray that you will find a humble heart. ready to submit to you and yield. As Paul says, submit yourself before the Lord prayerfully, humbly, respectfully, reverently, that you might be able to penetrate our hearts and show us what you want us to do individually and as a church. Is anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, Lord? I plead and I pray they will not leave here without walking down this aisle, surrendering their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Anyone here this morning that desires to renew their relationship with you, Lord, I pray that this will be the moment a new change in their life will take place. Lord, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you that you love us, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 371, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We're going to stand, we're going to sing.